Turn me, please, to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Hebrews 11 and verse 31. It says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time. Say, I do not have time. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. And I read that scripture a couple of weeks and I thought, but I have got time. So I'm going to tell you about these guys. They didn't have time, but we have got time. So we're going to take time to speak about these four guys. Their names are Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. How many of you have heard of Jephthah before? Let me tell you about them. They're a bit like you. They're weak, complicated. Some of them have got some serious hang-ups, and God uses them. And so we're going to do a series called Story Time, and we're going to show how God uses weak people with incredible hang-ups to do stupid things, like you and I. And it's the book of Judges is actually a book of God's amazing grace. It's like the more stupid the Israelites act and the more stupid they behave, the more gracious God is. And so if you're here today because you've done something really stupid and you don't know how to get out of it, you're in the right place. We can help you. You've done something stupid relationally or something stupid financially, we're going to ask God's grace to come and touch you. Amen? And so if you can turn me to the book of Judges, you'll find it in the Old Testament. And we're going to go through the book of Judges, the first few chapters. We're going to learn a few lessons today. And I trust God is going to challenge us. If you haven't found it, you won't find it. It's I've even found it in my new Bible. My old Bible is on the left-hand side, new Bible right-hand side. It says, after the death of Joshua. Say that, after the death of Joshua. So what does that mean? It means Joshua's dead. Brilliant. You guys are learning. Joshua's dead. You're quite right. Amen. Say it again. After the death of Joshua. Means? Joshua's dead. No, it doesn't actually mean that. I mean, it partly means that. The other thing that it means is that there were three generations. There was the first generation, which was Moses. There was the second generation, which was Joshua. And now we're dealing with the third generation. Third generation people are very difficult to deal with. I'm a third generation family member. My dad, my grandpa worked for Eskom for 50 years. Came from a very poor background. He worked for 50 years, established a little house, built up a little inheritance, gave my dad a little bit of an opportunity, and my dad's a bull. He just went. He ran, and he's an entrepreneur, and so he's got these businesses, and he expanded, and he paid a price, and he sacrificed. And I'm the third generation. I came into that blessing. I had my varsity fees paid for by my dad. So I'm blessed. I don't have a student loan. I'm blessed because my dad paid. But now we've got a first and second generation group of students in our nation that's saying the fees must fall. Yeah? So they're hungry, they're aggressive, they're determined. Yeah? Because they don't know the privilege that some of us have had. Yeah? So they're going for it. And if you saw some of the pictures, which were very amazing, because we've got to preach about what's going on in our city, some of the pictures were white students in the front protecting the black students at the back from the police. I don't know if you saw the picture of a white student getting gripped by the police and a black student pulling the person out of the policeman's hands. I don't know if you saw that picture. But I thought, how does it take an issue around varsity fees to unite black and white? Why can't we do that in the church? One of the reasons, friends, is because most of us are third generation people and we don't want to pay the price for equality. And we don't want to deal with the issues of discrimination because we live in this unbelievable privilege. And we have discrimination in this city, friends, that is not just black and white, it's also rich and poor. Joshua, my servant, is dead. Now there's a third generation of people that are rising up in the church. This is a third generation church. There was a man called Ashley Bell and Rob Donkin with his family and a whole lot of others here who left their jobs in Durban, gave up their businesses, came and reestablished themselves, paid a massive price to establish this church. Then there was another generation, Nick Davis and Heinz and all that group that came with them. They paid a massive price. 300 people built this whole facility, paid for the property, paid for the tent, put up the toilets, and you and I walk in here and think, it's lekker, eh? It's like really lekker. Haven't paid a single cent towards this property. I live in this unbelievable blessing. The toilets are amazing. But the problem, friends, is I don't know how to pay a price for this inheritance. And the book of Judges is written to a third generation of people who need to be convicted by God, because what you see in the book of Judges is a spiritual decline that goes all the way down to the bottom. And the last verse of the book of Judges says, there was no king and everybody did as they saw fit. So pandemonium breaks out in the world. And then the next book is the book of Ruth, which starts right at the bottom and all of a sudden picks up until you meet a man called Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth give birth to a child who becomes the inheritance of David, and David becomes a king like Jesus. And that king is mentioned in the book of Acts, and the spiritual decline of Judges picks up in the book of Acts. And when we start to preach Jesus, the spiritual renewal continues until it changes the whole earth. But we have to deal with our third generation privilege issues. Otherwise, it's just too easy. Don't want to meet with people, it's too hard. Don't want to clean the toilets, it's too hard. And I think Pretoria is full of very fat Christians who don't want to sacrifice for anything and are compromising on the call of God. And we have to make sure we deal with it. Now you're feeling comfortable or uncomfortable? Welcome to 3CR. Nice to have you. After the death of Joshua, what does that mean? It means there's a third generation. This book's written to us. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who will be the first to go up and fight for us against the Canaanites? The Lord answered, Judah is to go. I've given the land into their hands. Say, Judah is to go. So we third generation stands here. We're in Pretoria and we say, God, who must go first to take the next inheritance? It says, Judah must go first. Judah means? Praise. Say it. Praise. Judah means praise. Let me say this, friends. Negative people will not get an inheritance. And the problem with third generation people who haven't paid a price, they find the fault and not the joy. It's like the kids' ministry is too long and there are not enough teachers and the registration doesn't have enough computers and the toilets are dirty and the parking attendants are not friendly and the coffee's not up to scratch. We can always find the fault. Instead of becoming a group of people of praise, we praise God, we praise people, we praise God for putting us into this city, and we take people into their inheritance. It's absolutely vitally important. I've never been in a city with such negative language around the church as Pretoria. Everybody's got an issue with everybody. We have to learn, friends, to praise. We're doing a thing in May next year called One, where every church in this city, Doxa Deo, Levende Woord, Ingea Moraletta, in every church in this city, or the guys that we're working with, we're doing one series where whatever church you go to will be preaching the same thing. And at the end of that series, I've asked Dirkie van der Spade to come and preach in this pulpit to show that actually we are a people of praise. We will honor God for what He's doing in the city. There will no longer be criticism, negativity, and gossiping going around, because this generation has to take people into an inheritance. And we're going to put adverts in the paper and say, this week we'll be preaching at this at a church near you. So whether you go to Doxa or you come to 3CR, we're going to change pulpits. We're going to have different guys in the pulpit. And you don't know who's going to be in the pulpit. We're going to start to praise God for His work in our lives. Amen? Amen? Book of Judges. Great book, eh? Yeah. Then the men of Judah said to the Simeonites, their brothers. Say, their brothers. Come with us into the territory allotted to us to fight against the Canaanites. We in turn will go with you into yours. So the Simeonites went with them. Can you put that picture up on the board, please? How's that family? A good looking family, eh? That's one of my very dear brothers. That's a man who used to live in Port Edward. He was a surfer. As a single man, God told him to come to Glenridge and to build a church with us in Durban. And when I came to Pretoria, I went and sat with him and his wife, and I said, I want to ask you to consider coming up to Pretoria with us so that we can have an inheritance together and we can fight for the people of Pretoria to get an inheritance. And he said no to me three times. His wife is an American girl. And every time he went back after visiting us, they visited us a few times here, he'd say to his wife, should we consider moving to Pretoria? And his wife would say, why don't we consider moving to America? And last week they came up to Pretoria with his wife crying and said, God has told us that we need to relocate and help 3CR get an inheritance. He's got a business in Durban. He's got to put a manager in his business and relocate up here. Because that's what Rob Donkin did and that's what Ashley Bell did. And when I look at this book, there's got to be a place where brothers are prepared to pay a sacrificial price so that other brothers can walk into an inheritance. The best way for me to describe this man and his family, he is a relational entrepreneur. What does that mean? It means he invests in people. He will know your name. He will find a nickname for you. He will serve coffee and he will love you in the car park and he will love you in your home and he will bring meals to you and he will make sure that you get linked to the bigger picture of God so that you will have a greater inheritance. Friends, we are not some kind of transient in and out church. The only way that we'll get an inheritance is when brothers fight for other brothers to get an inheritance. When you sit with a man and a woman whose marriage is in trouble and you pray with them and you cry with them and you fast with them and you sacrifice until you see them coming into fullness. That's the book of Judges. The third generation don't want to be bothered. Joshua's dead. There's a new generation. And we're going to help our brothers walk into the fullness of what God has for them. Amen? And so, friends, if people say to me, what is the mission of 3CR? I think Genesis 4 is what we, but to me, this is it. That everybody who comes here will believe in Jesus. Everybody who comes here will belong to a family. Everybody who comes here will become a disciple. And everybody who comes here will build the kingdom of God. Believe in Jesus, become part of the family, become a disciple, or belong to the family, become a disciple, and build the kingdom. There's far too much transient Sunday understanding of church. The way we get an inheritance is when brothers sacrifice for brothers and sisters and we get an inheritance together. I'll fight for yours. Will you help me fight for mine? Yeah? This generation are so selfish. As long as it suits them and it benefits them, they don't care. But that's not the biblical way. Amen? Am I sounding hard? No. Good. When Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites the Perizzites. So you may remember, in the Old Testament, it's a piece of land. In the New Testament, it's a spiritual inheritance. So you look at this and think, what's all this fighting about? It's a physical picture of a spiritual inheritance that God gives us. When Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites the Perizzites into their hands, and they struck down 10,000 men at Bezek. It was there that they found Adonai Bezek, and they fought against him, putting to rout the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Adonai Bezek fled, but they chased him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. How nice is that? Yeah, but why don't you stand? Sorry I didn't get my message for the short pants today, but stand anyway. You need to and the pink
legs.
Shirt.
You need to have the legs for short pants.
This is how it works. How many of you are divorced yet? Don't put your hands up. How many of you have been abused yet? Don't put your hands up. How many of you have lost businesses yet? Don't put your hands up. But when you've been through a bad experience, there's a king that gets a grip on me and gets a balance on me. So every time we speak about relationships, if you've been divorced, all you can hear is this king shouting and saying, you've been divorced, you're not worth it. But when we go into the promises of God, he cuts off the thumbs and he cuts off the toes of the king that held us captive, of the king that held our land. And you see, I can't. Pull away from me now, Yevet. Pull away, you can't. Pull away from me now, Yevet. You can. Wrestle with me now. You ever try and wrestle with me? Try and wrestle. I've got balance. You can't because I'm too strong. But you cut off my toes and you wrestle with me. You throw me over. You see, friends, this generation have got to preach a gospel to the city that cuts off the thumbs and cuts off the toes of the things that hold God's people captive. I can't have a divorced person for the rest of their life in this church going around with the label divorce. And every time they go into a marriage context or they hear about marriage, this king shakes them and this king holds them. And then you've been bankrupt and a man stands up and he talks about God's blessing on his business and this king shakes you and said, you're useless. No, we cut off the thumbs and we cut off the toes and that king falls over and God's people come into freedom. Amen? That's our job, to cut off the fingers and cut off the toes. You take a sword, friend, and you hold that sword with your thumb and it's really strong. You take your thumb away and you can just pull that sword out of the person's hand. And I feel God through this series, He wants to show through Gideon and Jephthah, weak men, that God can bring victory to God's people. You know, friends, this book, Judges, is a book of the incredible decline of mankind. Where one of God's men, one of the Israelites, has got, he gets his wife back or his concubine back and he goes into a man's house, a godly man's house, and all the guys come and knock on the door and they say, come out, we want to rape your guest. And the guy says, no, you can't rape the guest, but you can have my virgin daughter. And this guy says, you can have my concubine wife. And they take that woman and they rape her. They gang rape her for a whole night, friends. This is God's people. They gang rape her for a whole night until she dies. And then he cuts her up into pieces and he sends her away into the different parts. And I look at that scripture and I think, my Jesus would never do that to his bride. And if you've been hurt by the church and hurt by people and you've been put out to dry and you've been physically raped or whether you've been spiritually raped, I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't send me out to the rapist. He hides me behind a closed door and he goes in front and he says, I'm the king, I'm the judge, I'm the perfect Samson. And as every piece gets cut up and sent all over the place, there's a scripture in the book of Isaiah. It says, can plunder be taken from the fierce? And some of you, friends, your sexuality has been ripped out of you and it's been sent to a far distant place and you sit here with your soul completely broken because your sexuality has been violated. I want to tell you, my judge Jesus, my King Jesus can come into that place and rip that part away from the king. He can take his thumbs and his toes off and he brings that place back where he starts to make you whole again. That's the book of Judges. That's the Jesus of Judges. That's the great King of Judges. We used to have a guy, we played rugby. We used to play against this team called Crusaders. And the coach had cut off his big toe with a lawnmower. And he stuck it into formalin. And we used to have this thing after the game, the man of the match got the floating toffee. this was like I've played them many times, but the one day I got the floating toffee. And then you'd have a picture with this floating toffee. It's like, I wish every one of us could put a floating toffee on ourselves to say, that thing which ruled our lives has been cut off, will no longer rule our lives. Amen? Turn me please to Judges, Joshua chapter 1. So go Joshua 1, put your finger in Judges 2, and go Joshua 5. We're going to go boom, 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 and then we're going to finish, okay? After the death of Moses, say after the death of Moses. What does that mean? Moses died. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we're in the second generation now. Okay, so Moses, that book's about the first generation. This is about the second generation. Judges is about the third generation. Okay, you got it? It's easy. The Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. Say, give you.
Give.
Not earned, give you. It's a gift. I'm going to give it to you. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Great Sea. Hubert, why don't you stand up? Could you stand up, please? Stand right in the middle here. In the middle there. Okay, you are the desert. Luther, you stand up there, bud. You are Lebanon. Lebanon, where's your nose? But stand aside once. Yeah, that guy with the beard. You can't wear a beard to church like that and not stand up, but that's special. You remind me of Moses. That's very special. And Era, just because you've got an orange shirt, why don't you stand as well? And because your car got impounded at Ellis Park and the coach of the Lions, Jan Ackerman, had to drive you around instead of celebrating with his team because you parked on a non-parking line. Yeah, you stand there. Okay. I told you we're building a family. The desert, Lebanon, the river, the sea, and you can imagine a circle. God says, I will give this space to you. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you as a gift. Keep your fingers there. Keep standing if you don't mind. Go back to Judges chapter 1. And verse 19. The Lord was with the men of Judah. Say, the Lord was with them. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had iron chariots. Say, unable. I want to add there, unwilling. In the ESV it says, they couldn't. I want to say, they wouldn't. God said, I give you from there to there, from there to there, this whole piece of property I give to you. I give it to you. He said, we can't drive them out because they've got iron chariots. I can't forgive her. I can't forgive him because they're like an iron chariot in my life. Can't forgive or won't forgive. Unable to forgive or unwilling to forgive. This piece of property has been bought by Jesus. Go to Judges chapter 2, please. Keep standing. And I trust God convicts us on this. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal, say Gilgal, to Bochum. Bochum. From Gilgal na Bochum. And said, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of the land, but you shall break down the altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. You have done this. Now therefore I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. Say, there will be thorns in your sides. Okay, let's go back to Joshua chapter 5. What's it called? Circumcision at? Say it. Gilgal. Why did the angel in Judges 2 come from Gilgal? Because something happened at Gilgal. Circumcision happened at Gilgal. What does it say? Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this guy. Say rolled away.
Rolled away.
What does that say to us? Rolled away. If you think about rolled away, what do you think of? What do you think of? You only think of one thing. It's a stone. It's the stone that got rolled away at Jesus. And there's also an angel present, and he rolled away a stone. This is how it starts, Judges chapter 1. In the days of Joshua, Joshua my servant is dead. I go back to Joshua, and God says he's given me a piece of property like this. That's the one bracket. The other bracket is the finished work of Christ on the cross. The sin has been rolled away. Death has been beaten, so I can live in the fullness of this land. But it says they were unable to drive away the iron chariots. And then it goes on to say, it says they were unable to drive away the Jebusites. Let me put some things on this, friends. Unforgiveness, bitterness, gossip. God gives us a property, and inside of that property will be praise and there'll be honor. And you can't stop gossiping. Not you unable, you're unwilling to stop gossiping. God says this, I tell you what, then you can have gossiping as your friend. It'll become a thorn in your side and it'll torment you for the rest of your life. Unforgiveness. God has bought us forgiveness. And so we should live. You say, Rory, you don't know what I've done. I said, let me tell you what Jesus has done. From desert to Lebanon, from sea to river, God has bought me freedom from my sin, complete freedom. You see what happens in the Old Testament is David fights and fights and fights and fights and fights until he lives in 2/3 of this property. And then he sins, or Solomon starts sinning, and it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And now Israel is smaller than the Kruger National Park. But the promise of God is huge. Why do we preach every Sunday, friends? Because God has given us an inheritance. It includes election. It includes being chosen. It includes being adopted. It includes being accepted. It includes forgiveness. It includes freedom. But the third generation say, I'm unable to drive it out. No, you're not unable. You're unwilling. I can't get rid of the bitterness. No, not you can't. You won't. You won't. And God wants to build a church in the city that lives in the full boundary of the finished work of Jesus. And it's going to take a spiritual renewal of the third generation. Ashley Bell did his job here. Nick Davis and Heinz and that team did their jobs here. Our task is to do our job. Pay a sacrificial price so that men and women can understand the finished work of Jesus and live in the full boundary. I reckon there are many people here, and I don't believe I live in the fullness, but I believe there are people here that live in less than the Kruger Park size of the blessing of God because you're unwilling and won't forgive, be truthful, stop gossiping, be generous. Not an easy word. And then God sends these faulty guys like Gideon and Rory. Not all together, very weak in many regards, but to remind God's people to walk in the fullness of what God has. We naturally, by our nature, decline. We naturally decline. But when God's Spirit comes, we live in the fullness of what He has. And we cannot settle down until every member of this church lives in the full and finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I sat with a member of this church this week. Because I was reading this scripture. And there's a portion of this person's life that I feel God has given me a victory in. Not complete victory, but a victory. And not out of any criticism. But I went and bought a pair of shoes. And I said, this is the journey that God has brought me on in this area. And this is the journey God wants to take you on in this area. So that me as your brother can help you walk into an inheritance. I have to cut off the thumbs and the toes of the thing that grips you. I pray, Jesus, that over these next 4 or 5 weeks, we would see the power break over divorced people, abused people, broken people, emotionally unstable people, Father. The things that have gripped them, the things that have shaken them, the things that have tried to balance them. I pray by your powerful name, by the authority of the finished work of Christ, You would slice off thumbs and slice off toes so that these people can walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.